Blog Talk Radio.
About moons, stars, suns, and everything, planets and aspects. And we have our favorite, our famous, our fabulous house astrologist, Ron Cole. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie, and hello, everyone who's listening. A pleasure to be here.
I am so happy. We have a girl that's coming on because I kind of screwed up, but I'll tell everybody in just a minute. Everybody, you're listening to Bonnie Albers on air. This is Astro Wednesday. I am so sorry, but Kelly is sick today. I don't know Kelly to be sick very much, and I know she was very upset to tell everybody she might get in chat, but she can't read. So it is going to be Ron and I. We're going to be talking astrology for the first hour, and I don't mean astrology. I mean astrology. So I this is just so cool because, you know, I all have the Idiot's Guide to Astrology, and Ron's the one that kind of navigates me on the right path. So, Ron, before I get to you, and I have a girl that I'm bringing on. She is also writes an astrology column, and this is too cool. Her name is Melissa. She was supposed to. She's my heavy metal medium. She was the one that was supposed to have her chart done today, but, you know, good old Bonnie, she screwed up again. But I really don't screw up that much, and I hate to say that, but I have been through 2 weeks of kind of mind-boggling things happening. So please forgive me, and Melissa, I'm going to bring you on in just 1 second, and please forgive me because you know I love you, girlfriend, and I just want to tell you, everyone listening, who I am, and then we'll go over to Ron. My name is Bonnie Albers, for anybody that doesn't know me. I am a RN, registered nurse. I am a legal nurse consultant. I am also a counselor. I specialize in love, romance, relationship, and sexual issues, and I have my own practice. But the thing I rock well is I'm a psychic spirit medium. And if I can be in the ethers and bring spirit, I love it. So that is my real true calling. And that's why we do all these shows. You can get a hold of me at, I have a website, BonnieAlbers.com. I also have a Facebook. You can get a hold of me at Bonnie Mosenter Albers. That's my maiden name. Is my middle. I use in the middle there so people can find me that didn't know I was married like 30 years ago, which I'm only 16, so it wasn't a long time ago. And I also can be reached in my email, which is balbers714@aol.com. I do readings. I also do counseling, and I do my readings and counseling together. So check out my website and you can see I have a fabulous guest. Well, actually, she's going to be on in just a few minutes. We'll let her tell you her what she does. But first, I want you to meet my astrologist, Ron Cole. Hi, Ron.
Hello again there, Bonnie. Great to talk with you today.
Thank you. I got to tell you something. You know, when I was thinking about you, Ron, I want everybody to know Ron does readings also. Ron rocks those readings because he's been my astrologist for a very long time, since I was about 8. No, I'm only 16. But he's done my astrology, he's done my kids' astrology, he's done my husband's astrology, and every friend I know, he does. He does a reading that's going to be 2 to 3 hours. It is so in-depth, you better get your recorder. But actually, he records it for you and sends it to you. So if you want a reading by Ron Cole, and he is famous, you can email him at livingastro@aol.com. That's living, L-I-V-I-N-G, astro, A-S-T-R-O, it's all one word, @aol.com. And he will give you a time and date. He does need some information from you, so when you email him, he'll tell you that. He's fabulous, and you hear him here every Wednesday, but his job, and he has a job, is doing charts. And he does all kinds. We've showed you compatibility charts. We've shown you birth, you know, your birth chart is, you know, it takes you through your whole life. He does updates. He does progressions. He's amazing. I know people who use Ron who, when they have surgery, they call him and say, "Hey, Ron, I'm going to have surgery in September. Can you give me the best dates?" And he never steers them wrong. So, Ron, now that I've told everybody about you, why don't you tell everybody about you, what you do, and what you love rocking so much?
Well, what I do is I do what is called a natal chart delineation plus progression. And that's why it takes quite a lengthy reading, because there's a lot of information to be covered in that reading. I set up the chart for the moment a person is born and takes their first breath. So that's why I need to have their location of birth, their month, day, and year of birth, and their correct time of birth, an exact mapping of what the sky conditions look like from that location on that date and time. Is that person's natal chart the single most important chart that can ever be set up for an individual? And it stays with them throughout their whole life because it is the grid and guidance system that their soul has come in to work with in this incarnation. Now, the second one I referred to, progress charts, that's an updating system of astrology where you can take an update to any year or time or few years ahead in time of a person's life and see what type of astrological configurations are going on. And you could tell what month of the year these configurations are going on and what planets are being involved, so you can give insight as to events coming up in the future. So it's more of a futuristic projection form of astrology, and it's highly accurate. And these two charts work together as a team, so that's why I set up both of them when I do the reading.
That is just so cool, Ron, because you know what? I love mine. I still haven't got my progress, which you need to give me a date. But before I'm going to bring – is Melissa? Melissa, are you on with us? Melissa? Hi. You know, I do have to tell you, I am having issues with Blog Talk. I want everybody to know people were just kicked out, and I was booted off. We've had it since yesterday, and I had to cut the show, and Blog Talk is working on it. So please forgive us and call back in. You know, we love you, and as long as I can be on and as long as you can hear me, I'm going to stay on. So I'm going to try to get Melissa on, and I know that she is sitting here, and I just can't hear her. So let me see if I can get her back. Melissa? Hey, girlfriend. Hello? Okay, I'm going to put in chat that we can't hear her because she wanted to ask you a few questions. But Ron, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. How about myself coming across?
I can hear you, Melissa. So I'm putting Melissa, I can't get you. Anyway, just to let you know, I pulled a card, and I couldn't figure out, Ron, why I went to my angel card deck. And my angel card deck, well, I saw one of our angel readers in chat. So that's so funny because I pulled it out. I'm starting to do, Ron, and before each show, I'm pulling a card either from a tarot deck. I've been pulling tarot cards. Today, my guides told me to pull an angel card. And I thought that was cool because of us doing astrology, actually you, and, you know, because angels are in the ethers and up in the universe. And I just want to tell everybody that this is for the show. I always ask that I pull a card for the show. And the show, the card I pulled today was a beautiful angel. Notice the signs. It's from Adoring Virtue, Daily Guidance Angels. And I just want to read it to you till we can find the people back, Ron. It says, yes, the signs you've been receiving are heaven sent. We drop feathers, coins, and other signs upon your path to remind you that you are loved and never alone. So I hope everybody takes that message with them. And this is the card for our show today. So I'm really glad because I see that we had Candy in, and she is an angel card reader. So isn't that too cool, Ron?
Yes, it is. And I'm familiar with those cards.
Oh, don't you love them? And I don't know why I pulled them. Let me see if Miss Melissa?
Yes.
I got you. All right, Melissa, this is Ron. Ron, this is Melissa. But before you talk, Melissa, I just wanted to let everybody know that Melissa also does astrology. She is so cool. She's one of the best psychic intuitive readers I know. She rocks the house with all of her heavy metal psychic energy. And Ron, I want to introduce you to Melissa because I know that I didn't send you her information, and she is going to send it to you for a reading next week. But she's got general questions because she does know urology. Again, astrology.
Not urology.
No, wait a minute, Melissa. The reason I say that, I've been a urology nurse for quite a long time. So the urology and the astrology are just getting to me sometimes. But I want you to meet Ron. Ron, this is Melissa. Melissa, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron. Hello. I'm super excited.
It's good to talk with you, even though we're not going to talk on urology today.
That's okay. I don't want to talk about urology.
but I do, guys. I can see that's the questions I can answer. You know, I just have to be quiet when you two talk. So, you know, the thing is, if anybody wants to know urology questions, give me a call. Not a doctor, but I'm a urology nurse. Okay, go ahead, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm super stoked because I do astrology. I do teach basic and I want to say intermediate astrology chart classes, but I need to get into the master. I'd love to master it, and I know that there's so much information out there with it that I just haven't even tapped into yet. I don't know how to put it. It's like it's like an ocean of information when it comes to astrology. So I'm super excited.
The fact that you've studied this much tells me that you've already seen how, well, I'll just use the word, complex and thorough and detailed the science of astrology is. There's so many terms, and there's so much to it that it is a functional science, even though it may not be recognized by the consciousness of some people in the world as a science.
Right, correct. And one of the things that I love about teaching it is I try to teach it in a way that makes sense to regular humans, I guess, because it is so full of, you know, the numbers and the degrees and the mathematics of it are what put me off, because I'm not a mathematical person at all. I love words, not numbers. But because it's so confusing for other people, I chose to teach it in the way that I was taught, that made sense. She put it into real terms, I think, for me, is what it was. And so I followed that along by teaching it in real words. But again, we've only hit the basics. I haven't even begun to hit, you know, I've scratched the surface of it, but I haven't begun to hit everything that I could possibly know about it. But I do have a question about the moon's nodes, and I find the moon's nodes fascinating. Probably
yes.
One of the most fascinating things that I've learned about the chart, so to speak, and I know that there are, you know, the node placement in a chart can also kind of sort of point out and determine karmic, you know, if you have two charts that have nodes in the same place, that could indicate karmic soul family relationships. So I was wondering if you could maybe, you know, go into a little bit more detail on that.
Yes, one of the best books you could ever, ever get out there on the moon's nodes, and it's been out a while, but it's never been topped as far as I have discovered, and that is The Moon's Nodes and Reincarnation. That's the title of the book, The Moon's Nodes and Reincarnation. And the author is Martin Shulman. And I believe his last name is spelled S-E-H-U-L-M-A-N. And I believe that's how it's spelled, but it's Martin Shulman. And, did he do some great research. Here's what has been understandable in the last, 40 years now in astrology. Before that, the nodes were very superstitiously looked at. The north node was like the nature of Jupiter and was good. The south node was like the nature of Saturn and was bad. They were called the dragon's head for the north node, or the dragon's tail for the south node. And that was kind of all we were understanding them to be. But boy, have we grown in this field of understanding the nodes. They are indeed connected to karma. The north node is more or less...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I had to call in. I've been just shut out. This is the third time. So go ahead. I am so sorry because I missed that. So I wish that you could repeat, you know, if you could. I don't know. I missed that she was giving you the nodes.
Well, we were just starting to talk about the north node, and I just gave like a brief past history of what the nodes once meant. North node is really the important one, and that is because it is related to the direction that the soul is working into or toward or with in this life. And the south node represents something that has already become there, established in the past. It's
right.
Moved away from. I always use this allegory like walking on a beach on the very, very first person just at dawn when the sun is coming up. There are no footprints on the beach because the water has come in and wiped all the previous people's footprints away. And as you walk, you can stop and look at your own footprints behind you that you've left on the sand. And that's like the south node, your path where you have been. The north node is like the entire unwalked-upon beach in front of you, the entire untrod beach, because that's the destiny and direction that you're going. And it gets even more in-depth than that. You really have to flow in the direction of what the south node is. Now, for example, right now, the today, the north node, did I say the south node? You're supposed to flow in the direction of the north node. Excuse me, I'll correct that. The north node today is in Libra, and the south node is in Aries. Well, what that means is a person came from a past life pattern of being just highly independent. I'll do it. Don't have to let anyone else help me. I'm, you know, my own person. I'll make the decision. I'll take the action.
Right.
I'll be the initiator. Well, in this life, they're supposed to learn to integrate with other people. Libra, north node. They're supposed to learn to share. They're supposed to learn to have someone help them or have someone be someone out there for an individual of connection with. And many times that shows a very powerful, strong karmic connection with any person that the individual will have a relationship with and or marry in this life. Very strong karmic link to those two people by having a north node in Libra. So the north node's the powerful one. That's the one we really are working on. That's the one we are becoming. That's the future of this life. That's our dharma. And the south node represents our karma, what we've already had. That's our past. We're moving away from it.
So if you were to do a compatibility chart, I think it's hilarious, actually, that you're using Libra and Aries, because I actually have my husband's chart and my chart up in front of me, and I'm looking at them. And our north nodes are in Libra, and obviously the south node would be in Aries, so
Wow.
I'm kind of chuckling about because, yeah, I don't like to ask for help. I'm independent. I'd like to go back to Aries, personally, and just do
it
all myself.
You come from a pattern of not asking for help, but by being independent, by being the initiator. But in this life, that need for sharing, that need for connection, that need for companionship, and that need for asking of help and integration is a necessary learning experience and growing experience.
Right.
That
so
is,
if in inside the two charts, would that? Yes, I can hear you,
okay,
Bonnie.
Okay, because
yes.
I'm not on as the host, but I'm going to continue as, because as long as you guys are on, I can keep this going. I can't, there is no host on the show. So everyone, they have all gotten kicked out. I'm hoping that they come back in, but I can't even get a hold of Blog Talk. So let's just keep it going for as long as we can.
Oh,
but I'm so excited.
You can hear me, we can. So you are there.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, continue, guys, because this is fascinating to me because I know Melissa a little bit. I mean, I don't know her. I feel like I've known her eons, but we just met, and I already can feel her energy, and you're exactly telling me what we already can feel about her. So go ahead.
So my question is, if we have the node placement in the same place, now we were born 9 months apart from each other. So there's about an 11-degree difference in the placement of the modes. But if we came in together with the same north and south node placement, what does that say karmically about what we – did we come here together to learn this lesson or – because maybe we didn't learn it before.
Well, actually,
we were too busy fighting with each other.
No, that's very interesting because Libra involves sharing and it involves relationships. And you both have it, both have that north node in Libra. So not only have you both come in for that mutual learning lesson and developing life lessons experience in this life, but it's particularly connected to love and union and partnering and love interests and relationships and marriage. So that means the two of you particularly have a strong karmic link to share together, to evolve together with, learn together from, and to mutually help, or should I say, aid each other in life experience.
It goes both ways, yes. It can go both ways, for sure. He's also a sun sign Libra, so.
Your own sign right now. You've got the nodes returning to the same place they were when you were born. So that's very powerful.
Ah, so that's another good question. When the nodes return to when you were born, what does that mean? I also do weekly astrology, but, you know, I've done the birth charts first. So actually looking at it in terms of right now, and I've never done a progression chart. I've always wanted to learn how to do a progression chart, but I have no clue whatsoever. So when the nodes return I'm looking for a teacher. I need to. I'm looking for a teacher.
I'm going to put Skype on your computer, Ron, because your courses, like I couldn't take your advanced course, but she could. And Kelly wanted to take your advanced course. You could teach them on Skype.
Well, yeah, I don't have a computer quite now that's Skype equipped, but I hopefully will be getting one. But there is something that we used to be taught, and this will kind of explain how to do the progressions in really a simple way. When we were, there was no computers when I was first studying astrology. When I was in the astrology college, we had to do every step by hand. But when we had the natal birth chart already calculated, you would move the degree of the midheaven 1 degree for each year of the life. So if a person was 36 years of age, you would take the birth midheaven and add 36 degrees to it. So if it were a 10 degrees Leo, then it would be 16 degrees Virgo at age 36. Then what you do, you go to the, there was a book that we used called The Table of Houses, and you'd look at where the midheaven of 36 degrees of Virgo would be, 16 degrees Virgo at age 36. You'd write 16 degrees Virgo now in another chart, and then you'd take all the house stuff from the rest of that book, like what was on the 11th house and what was on the ascendant. And that would show what the progressed descendant was, and what was on the second house, and the third house. You take it right out of this book called The Table of Houses. Now, then, for the planets, this is where it gets interesting. For each year that you live, you move 1 day further on from your birthday in the ephemera. So when you're 1 year of age, you move to the day after your birthday and take the planets from that position. When you're 2 years of age, you move 2 days and take the planet. When you're 36, you count 36 days. You don't start with your birthday. That's kind of zero. Age 1 is the first day after your birth. Age 2, the second day. Age 5, the fifth day. So you count to the 36th day after your birth, and then take all the planets right from that position, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and those would be your progressed planets at age 36, and your progressed houses would be determined by the midheaven moving 1 year for each year of the life.
Interesting.
So that's how you would do it. Now, computers do it instantly. You just ask for a progress chart, and they will just advance midheaven and house cusp, and they'll advance the planets, put them in there.
Yeah, I'm a lazy astrologer.
So computers do it all for us. When a person is around 27 and a half years of age, the progressed moon will come back to the same degree of itself in the birth moon. So if someone had the moon in Capricorn, 18 degrees, let's say, then their 27 and a half progressed moon will be also around 18 degrees Capricorn. So it'll return to its place, and it would have moved through every degree of the zodiac. You would have lived about 360 months.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Interesting. I know. I'm like, my mind's blown. My brain's gonna explode.
I told you, Melissa. He's fabulous. I mean, he's just, wait till you hear when you get your chart. I mean, it's he's so amazing. I mean, the one thing about Ron, and you're gonna find this, and I know you put your like Cancer and Aries. It really grates him because he wants you to put your ascendant. I think, don't you, Ron? You're more than just your sun sign. That's what you always say. And,
well, yes, we are really our full chart, and the ascendant shows what we look like to others, how we come across, what people see when they look at us, what image and energy, and you know, whether we know it or not, that we emanate outward to others.
Yeah, and
right.
You know what? I got to tell you, Melissa, I'm a, not, you know, because everything's brought back to me, and I haven't been able to talk, so I'm going to just say, I'm a Sagittarius rising. Aren't I? Yeah, I'm a Sag rising. And I'm much more a Sag than I am a Cancer. So
yeah,
when
I
think about
that.
Yeah, and when they tell me I have an Aquarius moon, I want to throw up. I mean, because I don't feel like that at all. But, I mean, or I do a Cancer. I understand the Cancer part. But if I had to rock anything in my chart, it's going to be Sag. But, you know I need all the parts in there to make it work, like, you know, Cancers, because I'm, you know, intuitive. The Aquarius means I got a brain, you know, so I don't know. I mean, what is your, do you know what your ascendant is? Because I know you do.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have my chart up, but yes, I
yeah,
do. Actually, I have a Cancer ascendant, believe it or not, and I'm an Aquarius sun. And the funny thing about that is I love being an Aquarius sun, but I've always not liked my Cancer ascendant because I'm not an emotional person. But then again, I'm mom to everybody, so the Cancer ascendant makes sense, and it's kind of what keeps me from being a hands-off, emotionally disconnected mom, I guess.
Well, that's true, and also the Cancer ascendant would be a big contributing factor in your intuitive qualities
yeah.
of being your psychic and intuitive
right.
and mediumistic qualities. That will come from the Cancer ascendant.
Yeah, and do you
right.
want to hear something? Ron and I, I've got to tell you this, Ron and I have the same birthday, Melissa.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just too cool. We celebrate our birthdays together. We're Cancers. And I always I always try to deny my Cancer, but I claim that that I'm more of a Leo and a Sag. But when the more you get into like your astrology, you understand why all three are like pieces of a cogwheel. And I love that because you're not just counting on one. I don't really listen to all of them. I just do my Cancer only because I can't, or I'd be all day listening to astrology for me. But I do understand why, we have to put all the three pieces together. And it's really cool, and I love that. So I don't understand it. I love how Ron does it because he teaches, actually, when you see him do your chart, you'll understand. He tells you every single thing about that part. And I love that because I can understand it. So what's
well,
in your
Bonnie,
you have
I realize that you and Melissa have the exact opposite pairing. Bonnie, you are a Cancer.
Yes.
So Aquarius moon. And we have the opposite, Melissa, with you. We have an Aquarius sun sign with a Cancer ascendant. So what that means is, while it's not the moon, you still have the connection from a strong placement in the chart in Aquarius for both of you and a strong placement in the chart for Cancer for both of you.
Well, on top of that, I have my moon is actually right smack on the cusp of Aquarius and Capricorn. So I do also technically have an Aquarius moon on top of that. See, this is why I run away from my emotions, like, a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot.
Yes. That's part of that sign character. Now, people don't understand why Aquarius is humanitarian when it isn't an emotional sign, and I explain to you. It doesn't mean that you have to be an emotional person with emotions oozing out to be humanitarian. Aquarians are very giving. They're very friendly.
Right.
They're very integrational with others. They have a sense of inventing things and discovering things and pioneering things and looking into things or just coming up with new directives and ideas. They have
right.
a deep care for fellow humanity, but it's not an emotional care. It's a care for helping people to be in a more sophisticated way of being, in an easier way, in a more flowing or fluidic way of life. They are a highly intelligent sign, or should I say it's Aquarius is a rule, so that would also be you, a highly intelligent sign. But it often has a feeling of weirdness about emotional people. They think emotionality, many Aquarians do, they think emotionality is a weakness. And
yeah.
people who are highly emotional and they will say, well, it would be nice if their energy were directed in other ways rather than those emotions because that seems to be kind of a weakness for them rather than a strength. It's not a sign that easily understands emotionality. And Capricorn has a problem with it also.
That's
yes.
my, oh, my God, Capricorn and Saturn, leave me, just go. You can, I love you, I love all people, but I'll tell you, in my chart, I don't want to see it.
I know exactly how that is, because, and it's true, and it makes sense. I mean, I'm writing a book called Follow Me to Awesome. I know a shortcut, because my goal in life is to give everybody in the world a chance to be awesome. A chance to be able to see what they can do with their lives. So, and that, you know, and that comes from that humanitarian part of Aquarius. You know, we are the ones that are, well, self-proclaimed savers of the world.
And
I say self-proclaimed because no one else is proclaiming it, but.
Melissa, that's an excellent book to write because it is a very humanitarian sign, more than any other sign of the zodiac. And interestingly enough, it's one of the signs that smiles a lot, often is very smiling and has a smiley type nature, and that indicates their friendliness. It's a very friendly sign, but it's intellectual. It needs to communicate knowledge to others or hear and see knowledge being expressed by others, and that's what triggers it.
Yes, crave it. Yeah. I don't want to sit down. I do not want to sit down with somebody who can't talk. I guess is what it is.
Yeah. Like my
okay,
husband.
I'm bored. Moving on.
Yeah, you know what? That's my husband. He's Aquarius, but he has a Capricorn moon, so it's really, really a tough placement for him. But you know that, Ron. So that's why I say my husband's Aquarius sun and I'm an Aquarius moon, so you know there's some type of a connection there. He really doesn't understand emotion. He understands being great at what he is. He understands it's so intellectual, it's really crazy because that's probably what drew me to him. But he does not get the whole emotional thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's to me, the way that I see it is it's a waste of time. Like, you know, why are you sitting there crying when you can get up and do something about it? That's how I kind of look at it. But it doesn't mean that Aquarians don't go into that mode themselves either, because we do. Sometimes too much. I mean, I know I do. But there comes a point for me these days where I go, okay, you know what, I give myself that pep talk, you know, you're not getting anything done, snap out of it, get up and do something about it. And that's when I do. And so it does, the difficulty lies in the fact that it's less, we're less forgiving on emotion, you know, don't cry about it, do something about it, basically.
That is part of Aquarian's nature, that is part of the sign. So I've had Aquarians often say, I wish I could understand emotions. I wish I could be more emotional. And I say, no, no, don't say that, because you are fitting the energy of what the sign is. It is supposed to be that. It is just what you just expressed. Stop crying and get up and do something. Get up being confused and wallowing in tears, like, what do I do? What do I do? Say, think, think it out.
Like me.
The action. You know, that's what Aquarius is. It's the phrase is, I know. Meaning that it uses its mind, it thinks.
Right, right, exactly. I often use that phrase way too much, too, I know, probably to the point of annoying people, but...
Well, I got to tell you something. I use this...
Hello?
Hello?
You think we've lost her?
I don't know. We might have. But while she comes back, I have another question, if I may.
Oh, anytime. I'm ready.
Okay, in my husband's chart and my chart, this is very interesting because in both Libra, still we're still in Libra. We got a lot of action in Libra in our charts, but Pluto, we have Pluto in the exact same. It's 13 degrees into Libra on both of our charts, but mine is retrograde and his is direct. Does that indicate a soul connection also when the planets are literally in the same place in two different charts?
Absolutely. And it also shows a connection from a past experience that leads to being born with that same placement of the same planet. Now, back in April of this year, around April 22nd, there were four planets. The cardinal signs were formed a giant cardinal cross.
Grand cross, yeah. It was a pain in the butt.
Oh, wasn't that awful?
It was terrible, and we literally felt it start,
With Pluto was at 13 Capricorn then, that means it was exactly squaring your Pluto, his Pluto, and Mars on that time was at 13 Libra. It was conjuncting your Pluto and his Pluto. So that's over now, thank goodness, but that was probably a very challenging period. Pluto is hovering not far away from 13 degrees. Right now we're looking at it at 11 degrees, Capricorn so many minutes, and it is retrograding, and it'll stop retrograding around the third week of September, and it'll be at 3 degrees of Libra and Capricorn, and then it's going to start moving forward again, and you'll start getting Pluto connecting with your natal Pluto as far as an aspect in the square right at the ending of December, but it's more like January. It's going to be probably the first 3 weeks of January, and then Pluto moves on. It goes to 14, And then before you know it, it'll be at 15 and moving onward past itself. So you have been in a period this year in which you've had Pluto square your natal Pluto for both of you at least two times already. And
yeah.
You've got a third one coming up, but it's very brief and it's in January. So you've been past the greatest amount of timing with that. What's interesting is, what does it mean karmically? Well, I would say this. One of you has it retrograde and the other has it direct.
Yeah, mine is retrograde.
But see, the retrograde is interesting because that's the one that's repeating something or connecting into something that needs to be reconnected, redirected into. And when somebody has Pluto conjunct somebody else's Pluto, it means they're coming from a past life in which usages of power was much a connection between the two of them. They could
right.
have been in lives, parallel lives or similar lives of a powerful family, a leading family. They could have been in royalty, kings or queens. They could have been as pharaohs and child of a pharaoh or spouse of a pharaoh, especially in Libra because it relates to relationships in the sense of union, love, and marriage more than child and parent. So this indicates power, principle, connections for both of you in the past life in which you shared life experiences together. Now, where can it be? It can be determined by the house that Pluto is in and the other planets that Pluto aspects in the birth chart. So if, for example, it's in fourth house, that would indicate power in a family, being born into a family of power and eventually rising up into power oneself. In other words,
that's where the retrograde Pluto is in the fourth house.
Well, that shows that that indicates that at least one lifetime was both of you were born into a great power principle family and then grew into handling the power as the next generation. But it's still in Libra, so that means you would have a lot of co-sharing and co-integration with each other and co-advice to and from each other. Although one may have been the official leader, there would have been a great degree of discussing and talking and sharing and personal ideas being brought back and forth. If another, for example, if we're in the 10th house of a chart, that would be power in a big business, corporation, industry, something that would grow to be a huge moneymaker, a megapolis of industry and power. And that would be that kind of power sharing in high leadership positions. It would take the energy of what house it's in. Now, yours is interesting because yours is the retrograde, and the retrograde is always
right.
the one that's showing energies of repeating. I always say if you take the word retrograde out and use the R like symbol and put repeat, it will make more sense because it's true Pluto is retrograding, but it also means it's repeating some experiences from past lives. And
you know, Ron, can you
Are
hear
you
me? Yeah, I'm here. I don't want to repeat anything more. I know Melissa, this is her reading, but I'm telling you, I'd like to take the R's out and continue with the, like, going forward.
We always have to deal with retrograde. The only thing that doesn't retrograde is the sun and moon. So the ruler
right.
of Leo, the sun and the moon, the ruler of Cancer, those never retrograde. But all the planets do, from Mercury through Pluto. In fact, Pluto's retrograding right now. Introduce the word repeat, and what does that mean? It means that there was unfinished business or non-completed business where Pluto was involved with in past life, and it's coming back again. Now, to me...
Misuse of power. That's what I keep getting, misuse of power.
That had a lot of powerful psychic lineage. Your own parents, it could be father's family, mother's family, or both in this life, there's a great degree of intuitiveness. There's a great degree
yeah,
of knowing. And you were born with that.
My father's mother was an astrologer. She actually taught me from spirit because I only knew her for about 3 years.
That's part of the Pluto in the fourth house. That means you or were involved with the awareness of spiritual knowledge, mystical knowledge, metaphysical knowledge, or astrological knowledge, or any of the above. In past lives and passed it on to new generation. And in this life, you benefited from being the new generation and receiving it from the generations above you.
Right.
That's too
That's
cool.
That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Yeah, I have three retrograde planets. My husband is one of the few charts that I've ever seen that has no retrogrades at all in his chart.
That is true. That's very rare. That is like a steam engine going at full speed ahead. There's nothing tying back to a repeat of something. There's nothing that's being relearned or re-experienced or re-immersed. It's full speed ahead. Everything's marching onward, forward, direct. And that can be, personality-wise, like one of the dynamos in life, or that isn't always the way it's expressed. These are always people that if something goes wrong, they always have a way to solve it, or they always find a way out.
He does. Fixes everything. He can fix anything. Anything.
Nothing gets to him, you said, huh?
He can fix anything. That's who he is. If something's broken, we take it to him. He fixes it.
That's an interesting example right there of somebody who doesn't have retrogrades. They just can go straight ahead and do anything. They just have that full speed ahead like an engine on high. Now, there was an old director who directed famous silent films. His name was Max Sennett, and he had like the Keystone Cops and many other comedies in the silent film era, and he was very, very famous. He had six or seven retrograding.
Oh, my God.
It was used by astrology classes for years and could still be used today because it was such an amazing chart. There was so many retrogrades that it was almost beyond comprehension that someone could be born at a time that many planets were retrograding, but they were. And the old books used to say it indicates introversion. And here's a man who was a director and out there making all the decisions, and he wasn't introverted. But what it does mean is he would be the type of person that when something was done, he would go through it again and again and again and again and be real picky about the repeat, you see. I don't like the way this was filmed. We're going to do it again. Or I don't like the lighting. We're going to do it again. Or see, that would be a kind of individual who would be in the directing field who had all those retrogrades. And also, he wouldn't be happy until every final little review and detail about the whole condition were done in the film so that it would approve, he would be approving of it. So when you have a lot of retrogrades, you are often the one who pulls something back and reviews or redoes or reestablishes something. So your husband's lucky. He's got the steam engine going straight ahead.
Right. Wow. Yes, absolutely.
Well, how could she be? But you know what? Then I'm going to ask you something. How could she be here to repeat something with him, but he not be here to repeat anything?
I'm not as smart as...
Something was unfinished involving you and your life experience in the last time the two of you were together. And as far as he was concerned, he had completed the karma. He had completed what was needed to share or work out together or have in his soul finished. But there was something that wasn't finished yet from you, and that, Melissa, would indicate something where power or principles of power or family power came into being. For example, let's say he became a king or a pharaoh or a great leader, and you were the next one up to become like that, and you were very close to each other as advisors, but you died before getting into that position of leadership. Your position was unfinished. It never actually happened, yet it has happened. So that could be an example like that of one having the retrograde Pluto. And now this is just one example, and it doesn't have to be exactly that way. But something that he did, he accomplished and finished or was in the position to finish, and you were due to be there or to share with him and never finish the sharing, even if you were in co-leadership positions, he continued to lead and you passed away or something happened to remove you from the situation. So that's kind of how I would explain that.
I actually do. This is our third life together with my twin flame, and they're brothers, yes. And they've been brothers for three times. And so this makes sense to me, actually, because we have, between the two of us, it's a karmic, how do I want to say this? It wasn't him that did it. That made the mistakes. It was me that made the mistakes. That makes sense?
That would be the other way of looking at it. He would be like the full speed ahead, doing it the right way, going on the right path, completing and direct, and then the mistakes would have been done by the retrograding chart person, so that that's the individual who would have to work those mistakes out in some former way.
Right. Yes, and I'm currently working that one. Yeah, and I'm doing very well, as a matter of fact. So hopefully my Pluto won't be retrograde when I come back. But I have an interesting question for you, because I know that it's getting to the end of the show. There was a child born. You know, we had a full moon on Friday the 13th, a couple months back.
Yes,
in Sagittarius, it was opposing the Mercury retrograde, a big, huge thing, and there was a child born that day. What would you say about that child being born on such a, I mean, to me, it was a very powerful day astrologically. So, and I kind of just sort of want to see if you see roughly the same as I do for that child.
Okay, I want to look back when that exact month happened.
I think it was in June. I think.
Because Friday the 13th, there was a full moon at 22 degrees Sagittarius on that day. Yes, exactly. And so this child comes in with a Gemini sun and Sagittarius moon and has Mercury retrograde. That's true. Exactly what you said. And has still Mars is direct. Jupiter is direct, leading out towards quicker and quicker the ending of the sign of Cancer, but it was still in Cancer. And right around that child's birth, a couple of days before the birth, Neptune went retrograding. It was direct the first 9 days of June. Any time a child is born on the full moon, that's powerful, but it usually indicates for a full moon birth that there was some challenge going on between the parents during the pregnancy and mother's carrying of that child. They were either not getting along, or they were having great financial stress, or they were having challenges from outside forces like family. They were battling and having something. Now, it also indicates the parents are going to be very different in temperament. The father will be the cerebral, communicationary, Gemini, idea person, often coming from a family that's youthful-looking and often being youthful-looking himself, that will have a lot of Gemini-like qualities in him, no matter what sign he's born under. And the mother will be Sagittarius-like. She'll come from a fire-like family, fire energy, travel, movement, humorous, blunt, straightforward. So they'll be different in temperament. The mother will work more through reactions and energy, and the father will work more through communications and ideas. And they won't necessarily be the types that will get together, although fire and air traditionally gets together and is a good harmony. But it would indicate that there will be still challenges between the parents in that child's early life. Now, once childhood is over, and this individual now becomes an adult and gets through the childhood and teen period, the full moon is the most powerful thing to be born under, because it is a sign of accomplishing things, getting things done. You would be shocked when you go and do research of some of the biggest on who's who in commerce, business, and industry, some of our famous inventors, politicians, and famous names that have survived history, how many of them over and over and over again were born under the full moon. And that full moon gave them that initiative and that power to become who they became, or to do what they did and even become a mark in history. And it's inevitably for the good, but they have these challenges during their own developmental mother's body pregnancy and then when they are in the early childhood years. But once they get through it, they are like a rocket going on full direct ahead.
Well, that is what I did see for this child, especially with the full moon. I haven't really looked into the phase of the moon in terms of when the person was born before. It was kind of the first time I had thought of that because it was such a big day, and, you know, it was Friday the 13th, and, you know, everybody panicked as usual. But
oh, I see what you mean. They thought that. Well, every year their birthday will slowly switch days, and there will be some birthdays that they will have in their life that will actually match up to Friday the 13th.
Right.
Months in which their year in which their birthday falls. There will be a number of years in which Friday the 13th will be their birthday.
I think
my sister was
born on Friday the 13th. But I've got to say, I've got PTR's rep in my chat room, and I do want him if he hears this. Everybody has been logged out several times, and I've been logged out 4 times. Now I'm on, and when you came in, well, they're not in anymore, that they logged in. Okay, well, I just have to tell you, if you're listening, we have had so many problems, because I can't type this, and I need to tell them real quick, that I've been kicked off 4 times. All of my chatters have been kicked out. I can't even tell you how many times, so please check and see what's going on here. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. Now you can continue, Ron. I just had to tell BTR came in, so I've been kicked off 4 times.
Yeah, that's valuable
because it needs to be expressed so that, you know, it can be understood why you were kind of fading out sometimes and weren't there. We've got an Aquarius full moon coming up in August, not this Sunday, but a week from this Sunday on August 10th. That is what I call the New Age moon. As we're, of course, in the New Age of Aquarius, and that's what I also nicknamed the astrologer's moon because it's the one and only full moon in Aquarius for this year. And it's a super moon, everybody.
Hey.
It is the closest it will be to the Earth. So because of its closeness, it will be larger and brighter.
And all the fish will be out, so you can please don't send the fishermen out because my husband will be fishing up a storm, catching all these fish and killing them, and I hate killing animals or fish. And so, but I'm telling you, when those super moons come 4 days before and 4 days after, it seems every fish in the sea is out there biting. So here's
a
fisherman's report. If you want to fish, go ahead.
Well, it is the water there, but it's at 18 degrees Aquarius, 2 minutes. It's the degree of the full moon, 18 Aquarius, 2 minutes, and it occurs on Sunday the 10th and in the afternoon. So the full moon is exact to the degree, 2:10 in the afternoon.
Well, I'm telling you, Ron, remember what I said that happened in July, and that was the first of these 3 supermoons. I couldn't figure out why he was catching all these crabs, which is, you know, Cancer the crab, and all these fish, and within 4 days it stopped. So I thought, okay, well, it's the season, and then I'm thinking.
Uh-oh, I think she went again.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it still us again? Right
it
in
is.
The middle
I think
of
it's
she gets
us
kicked
again.
Out, poor soul.
Poor
you know,
Bonnie.
We don't get kicked out. We keep talking, huh?
Yeah. Is there another hour of the show?
Yes, the other hour, I'm going to have to leave because I've got appointments and things on this second hour, and I do that every week. But the second hour, they will usually have another guest, or they'll have Kelly come on, and she does the readings with her cards, and or they'll have somebody else on. And once in a while, Bonnie stays on and does her own readings on that second hour.
Well, I'm going to email you my birth chart information, and I want to thank you so much for answering all these questions for me because it's so much fun, and I definitely would love to learn more from you because there's, like I said, so much that I haven't tapped into yet.
Well, wait till you get to that Aquarius full moon on August 10th. I mean, August 9th, 10th, and 11th are the 3 days of the full moon, and the 10th is the exact day. I am telling you that's your heightened point for the year because the full moon is Aquarius and it's occurring in your sign of great placement. In fact, you've got sun and moon in Aquarius, so it's occurring in your strongly placed Aquarius sign. And that's, to me, people ask me, Melissa, what does the age of Aquarius mean? And in one sentence, the best sentence I ever heard was at a lecture, and they said, it means the individual becoming their own master. And
ooh, I love it. And you know, on August 10th, I have to tell you this, on August 10th, I'm meeting with my possible new paranormal investigation team.